it to him. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. One more time. We've been made more than conquerors. I'm an overcomer in this life. We've been made victorious. Oh, do you believe that today? Oh, let's sing it again with all of our heart. Yes, we've been made more than conquerors. We're overcomers. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus. I want you to sing it one more time. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe that with all your heart this morning? That you have been made more than a conqueror. We're not survivors, we're conquerors. Amen. I believe that, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Amen. Cold outside, isn't it? But we're going to have church in here today. The Spirit of the Lord is here. You're here. You brought Him with you. We're going to put our licks of fire together and we're going to have a real good time here today. How many of you enjoyed the Word of the Lord here last night? Do you appreciate what God's doing for us? Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around now? We know flu is everywhere. So if you don't want to shake somebody's hand, that's your privilege. You can fist bump them. Don't hit them in the nose or the chin. Or you can say, God bless you. But do that to somebody around you this morning. Ever how you want to do that? God bless you. Play some more of that, guys. Sing that together one more time, if you will. Yes, we've been made more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus.
Been made more than conquerors.
Hallelujah. Yes, we have.
Overcomers in this life.
Thank you, Lord.
We have been made victorious.
Oh, we're victors today, church.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, we've been made more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Lance Parker, I want you to come this morning if you would. Get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Brother John Roberts wants us to pray for Sister Marcy this morning. She's not feeling well, so let's just ask the Lord to touch her if you would. Brother Tim Cleveland wants to thank the church for the fruit basket and all the prayers during his surgery on his broken arm. Please continue to keep me in your prayers. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Tim that the Lord would just continue to touch and heal him. Brother George Hamlin says, thank you for your prayers, the food, the gifts. Rachel came through her surgery very well. They want to praise the Lord for that. So thank God for that good testimony. Sister Nadine Finch says, I would like for the church to pray for my niece. She has a special unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord this morning. A special unspoken prayer request for the Lawrence family. God knows all about that need. We'll just pray for that. Sister Lubine says, please pray for my cousin. She fell and crushed her kneecap. She will have surgery on Monday, so let's remember that prayer request. I want to pray for David Harmon. He is homesick, needs a healing touch from the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Joel Moyer's grandmother. Very serious condition and needs our prayer, so we want to remember that need as we pray today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. We put them in His hands. That's the safest, best place in the world to put them. Because Papa God knows best. Is that right? Let's stand this morning, if you will. Brother Lance, if you would come this morning, take us to the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Lance Parker and the Parker family, don't we? Give Brother Lance a nice hand as he comes this morning.
Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Dear Lord Jesus, how we thank you so much, dear God, for the revelation of this hour, for the ministry that you've allowed us to sit under and grow from. Dear Lord, we recognize and we are humbled by the fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has chosen to show Himself to such a group of people, Lord, and we are so, so thankful because we know that not everyone sees you the way we see you. We know there's only a special little minute group of people who you trust enough and who you love enough to let them see your heart like no one else. And as those people, Lord, we also know that there's not anybody you'll hear quite like that little woman you love so much. So, Lord, we're not coming here right now to try to take advantage of you or take you for granted. But what we're wanting to do is just let you know how much we love you, how much we trust you, how much faith we have in you. Dear Lord, on that note, we want to bring these requests before you because, Father, we know you can do all things. We are confident, dear Lord, that there's not one hand that was raised. There's not one request that was read that when you come to the point to where you're looking at it, you will never say, you know what? That's just a little bit too much for me. I think I'm just going to let that play out without my help. You would never do that, Lord. We know that you are big enough and you're great enough to handle everything that our lives could possibly bring. And we're so thankful for it. So, dear God, for each and every one of these requests, we just raise our faith to you. We raise our gratitude to you. And we pray above all that your will would be done in every one of these requests, in every life, in every heart. We pray you would let it be done. For all the sicknesses going on, we know you're the healer. For the people who are bound, we know you're a deliverer. Dear God, we know you are the one who can answer all things, and we give you thanks for it, dear Lord. We ask you now to have your way in the remainder of this service. You are always welcome. Be the foremost, dear God, in our hearts and in the service. Help us, dear God, to enter into worship, to give you the gratitude, the praise, and the honor that you deserve for the remainder of the time we have here now. Grant it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lance. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, We receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in this service today, we certainly want to take this time to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service today, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. You know, we heard a tremendous message here last night. And you know, to think about what God has done for you and I, and to think about how He would pick, Brother Terry, let's just take you for example. Why would God pick you? Why would He pick you? It was election. He chose you. Why would He pick me? Brother Rob, why would He pick you? Why would He bring you out of the denomination you was in? He saw something that He placed there, and He knew you'd respond. There was a deep, and if there's a deep call, there's a deep to respond. Aren't you glad that by election and by God's great plan of predestination, you have been placed in present day truth? Do you love that with all your heart? Do you appreciate it with all your heart? Has God been good to you? Has God been good to every one of us? Give Him a big hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. We could have been anywhere in the surrounding area worshiping today and not even have a clue as to what God's doing in the earth right now. But for whatever reason, you and I are here. Amen. This is not the only spot, but I'm glad it is a spot. Amen. That God chose to put His presence. Amen. Aren't you glad about it? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Let's sing this song unto the Lord this morning. Worship with us.
The Holy of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given.
Hallelujah.
The hills of home calling me.
This house of flesh is just a prison, bars of bone, they hold my soul,
but the doors of wide open.
Oh, yes, sir.
When the angels say,
Lord,
my spirit free,
I'm gonna take my flight like a mighty eagle. When the hills of hope
see loved ones over yonder, their tears are gone and their hearts are free.
I like this part.
And from the throne,
yes, Lord,
my Savior beckons.
Sing it, church. Oh, this house of flesh is just a prison, bars of bones, they hold my soul,
but the doors of clay are gone. Wide open, when the angels say, my
Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. I haven't heard anything this morning from Brother Sam or Sister Gail Clark about the situation there, so I don't know if there's any update as far as that goes or not. Maybe Brother Donnie will have something for us when he comes out. But let me make this quick announcement for you this morning. This is from Brother Barry Coffey in the assembly over in Hickory. This is just a note to let you know about our annual marriage banquet. It's coming up on February the 28th at 6 p.m. More information is available on our website, and that is www.hickorybibletabernacle.org. Consider coming. It is an enjoyable evening of this year. Brother Bill Ivey from Arkansas will be our guest speaker, and there's more information concerning that over in the library if you would be interested in going and being part of that marriage banquet. So remember that. Let's sing one more little song this morning. We're going to have a couple of special Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, Brother Joel, if y'all come onto the platform, Brother Justin Reagan, if you all of you come onto the platform at this time, get ready to sing. I don't know how they got it exactly put together. Is Brother Joel even here? He's here this morning, isn't he? Well, come on, get up here. You stand back there and look at me like I'm crazy or something. Which we all know that's the truth. But come on to the platform. Let's sing a little song this morning. Let's sing the chorus of it. We're running our last mile home, Brother Harry. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Give Jesus one more hand if you will.
Yes, I don't know the words.
Running my last mile home, guys. Starts with R.
It's tough when you get old. You can't remember. But I know I'm running my last mile home.
Praise the Lord.
I've met with many crossroads on my journey. Never once has my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. Road ahead straight and I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home.
Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne.
Little David, play the prettiest music.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, I'm a weary pilgrim, running my last mile.
Journey. I live my lifetime for this day alone. Well, I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious. I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home. I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home.
Oh, so ring the bells, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne.
David, play the prettiest music.
We're weary pilgrims running our last mile home. We're weary pilgrims running our last mile home.
Singers this morning. Now we're going to sing a song this morning, and we're going to dedicate this to Brother Jackie Benton. He turned 81, is that right? 81 years old yesterday. And he's lived a life of service that I'm proud, very proud, and I'm sure we all are proud to say Brother Jackie goes to our church when we meet people all over the country. Brother Jackie and his family are a friend of mine. I'm proud of that. And, you know, they had a little celebration for Brother Jackie about a year ago, and all the things that Brother Jackie's done, all the places that he's went. And there's people, somebody's on a mission trip in Germany right now, and he's a little older than I am, and his very first mission trip, Brother Jackie took him. And so just people that he started and works that Brother Jackie's been a part of, it'll go on for years to come. And this song is called Faces, about the faces and the lives that have been touched by people like Brother Jackie. We appreciate all of our ministry here at our church. Thank you. Well, I dreamed my life was done, and I stood before God's Son. It was time to see what my reward would be. With love He reviewed my life to count what was done for Christ. That was what would last eternally. See, I'd done my best to share that Jesus really cared, and He would say if they would just believe. But seldom did harvest come, so few did I see one, until the Lord said, turn around and see. Then He showed me faces of the ones who'd come because of me. So many faces that my life had led to Calvary. But all those years I thought nobody saw, as I when Jesus smiled and showed me all the faces. He said, though you did not see the yield, you were faithful to plow the field. Helped me plant the seed. No matter how small the task, You did just as I asked. Thanks to You, these souls have been set free. that
sweet Jesus smiled and showed me all the faces. And all those years you thought nobody saw, as you labored in lonely places, one day he'll smile and show.
Regretting it because I've got a bullfrog in my throat. But I was listening to this song Justin been singing around the house, and I was listening to it the other Thursday and Friday working. And the song is, if there ever was a time we needed you before. And brothers and sisters, we've never been this way before, but I know our captain's faithful. But if there ever was a time we needed him, it's now.
Thank you. time. Oh, I needed you before. Lord, I need you now. Cause if I've ever had a friend, Lord, I know it's you. And I
singing this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. We're in just a little bit over, but we're going to be all right. We'll give Brother Donnie plenty of time to come and bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you going to pray for your pastor? The song that we ended the service with last night, I'd like for you brothers to do that again this morning as Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word of the Lord. I'm going to hug Brother Randy Gisendanner's neck when I see him again for sending him that song to us. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Let's enjoy it as we sing it as our pastor comes. God bless you this morning. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Awake, north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may blow out. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. For behold, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth again, the time of singing is come. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah.
Saturate my soul, let your river flow.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we make this a prayer to you today, Father. O Lamb of God, if there will ever be anything of eternal value and quality that will come out of our lives, it will have to be you that accomplishes it, Lord. We pray today, Father, that as we once again look into your word, may an apocalypse take place, an unveiling. May the cover be removed, we can see more clearly. Lord Jesus, we so count it an honor once again to be into your presence. We move now beyond the outer court, the brazen laver. We come up past the menorah. We come up past the table of shewbread. We take a hold to the veil. We move in behind where the holiest of holies is. There the Ark of the Covenant, as it were. Hallelujah. There the secret garden will be unveiled. Speak to us today, Lord. We love you so very, very much.
I just wish for myself I had better words to express how I feel about you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Help us today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor, with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes. With all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. And then her reply back to what he has said. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. It can sometimes be that these sweet odors within the people of God are quiet and still. It can be that these virtues, these graces, are so in a child of God's life, yet they themselves cannot stir their own graces. Though the garden will provide the soil and the sustenance and be the one to receive the moisture, yet the garden cannot make the fragrances flow. That is another energy or another source, which is unseen, which is, of course, the wind. Even so, children of God who are born of the Holy Ghost, their greatest desire is to please the Lord more than anything. That's what they want in life. They have other motives and other objectives and things that they wish to accomplish. But first and foremost, it's the Lord Jesus. Sometimes when a child of God comes into that stillness in their life, they can begin to question, am I really a Christian? Do I really have the Holy Ghost? Am I really being effectual and fervent? Am I being what I'm hearing preached? And Satan can kind of turn that around on them. And because they don't see it in their life, sometimes they're not looking for it in the right way. Or because they're going through a great trial and they're wanting it to be now when actually the wind will blow next week. And they look at themselves and they begin to question, am I really what I think I am? Am I really what I'm believing? I'm saying amen to these things and I'm hearing it read and preached and I know that it's right, but do I have that? Is that really me? You know, and whenever we come to that spot, the only source of our wind is the Lord Jesus. And it takes Him, even when we've maybe have allowed the Spirit of God to grow these things in our lives, we still can't make them stir. We still cannot make them even flow out to other people as much as we try to make ourselves alive. Jesus never said anywhere to try to make yourself be alive, but let your light shine, which is allow it to be so. And we know that with these graces that are birthed within the child of God, and they're overwhelming, I know as we've looked at them, there's so many that we've looked at and many more that we haven't. But yet you've seen within a child of God's life, for a person to be caught in the cycle in between the winds to where it's a very still time. Many of you have been there. I particularly don't care for most of the winds that I've been around. I've been in Canada with a 40 below zero and a 40 mile an hour wind. I don't care for that kind of wind. I've stood on the East Coast with the wind. I flew in the wind across Japan, across the Pacific, across the Mediterranean. I flew in the wind nearly every part of the world. One time time I was privileged to be able to fly across the North Pole, the only transatlantic flight that they ever allowed to go across. It was the stillest flight I ever had in my life because the winds turned with the earth right here. Going over the top of the earth, there wasn't no winds. So from the time we head out in Chicago and went out and landed on the other side in China until we got back into the winds of the earth, it says turning around, very calm and very still. But yet when it comes to life and how that these things blow out of our lives, it takes wind to do it. Because the stillness and the calmness of a Christian walk with God is very essential and it's very necessary. But it takes the wind in order to blow this out of our lives. And sometimes that comes with great storms and trials. And at the end of that, then the north wind will come and begin to blow out of our lives, which we do not have the ability to blow. Now, before we look at what we're going to look at today, and that is charity, let me just reiterate to you today that a child of God going through these times in their lives, they might be very apt to wonder, am I missing something? Do I really have what I think I have? But you know, all it takes really is just a little simple observance of what you see the scriptures identifies these traits as being. And then look in your own life with a sane, a sensible a view, and look in reality form and see if you see things of eternal value and eternal quality proceeding out of your life. And if you do, then that means you have no way of producing that on your own. And the answer of whether or not you are truly born again and whether you have an essence of eternal life living in you is to see that the effects of that eternal life are living themselves out of you automatically. Now, it may be harder for you to see than sometimes it is others, and no doubt it will be. But yet, I still believe a child of God can live in such a way and have an assurance that is so personal that we know we have passed from death unto life. It's not a guessing. It's not we're living a life and waiting and seeing at the end of the road, and then we find out then that is absolutely wrong. There is an assurance that comes with this token. And the church said, there is an assurance that we have passed from death unto life. Now what we look for is to see the fruit of these things living in our lives, and maybe not in the measure that we so desire. But yet, you know, you look at a garden, and I've raised a few gardens in my life, and when you look at a garden, you think that I've had flower gardens and, you know, plants and things like that. But if I ever got any plants or trees that was in my garden that became diseased. Now, I liked roses, so if I had roses and I bought a rose, say at Evergreen or Lowe's or whatever more, and I tried to keep black spots and all different kinds of diseases off of my roses, but if I brought one in and it was a carrier, and it was actually embedded deep down in the roots of that rose, yet it showed no black spot at all on the leaf when I bought it. If it had, I wouldn't have bought it, because I know how that they can spread. But if it was in the root and there it was laying and I never noticed it at all, you can't smell it, of course. You can't have a black spot detector that you pass it over it, and then you know you've got it. But it might have laid there for a very long time, but then as I set it out and I let it have fellowship among the rest of my roses, and before long black spot came out. And then maybe it'd go from one to the other, you know, it's very, very hard to get rid of. But I don't go in there, or I never did go in there and dig up every plant that was in that garden, or take a 5 gallon of gas and set all over it and light it on fire and just burn the whole thing. But what you want to do is focus on the one plant or the one tree or the one particular part of your garden that is diseased. And you spray and you take care of that spot that is diseased. And it does not mean you need to trash the rest of your garden. So if you find yourself short or diseased on meekness or diseased on charity, it does not mean that you're not a garden of God. It does not mean that you're not His own Shulamite. But it just means that you need to focus some special attention on the diseased part of the plants in your life. You understand what I'm saying? So don't get discouraged. Don't get all down and say, well, I'll never be able to make it. I'll never go. No, just focus on the black spot of your life, or focus on the fungus or whatever it is that's there. And don't let that within itself. You've got one rose in your beautiful garden and you know, whatever kind that you like. And it's got all, a little bit of black spot. Well, don't let that rob the
the joy of you enjoying the daylilies and the rhododendrons and all the rest of that that's in your life. But if we're not careful, we become so focused on the one rose that has the black spot that we overlook all the other attributes that is in our heart. But I believe myself that the Lord Jesus has the ability of sorting through and being able to enjoy the fragrance of every other good and godly thing that comes out of our life. And He does not condemn everything else because you've got one plant with a spot on it. And it's a great revelation from God for us to be able to look at our own lives and do exactly the same thing. But many of us, if we're not careful, because we fall short of charity or short of faith or gentleness or goodness or kindness, then we tend to trash the entire garden. Well, I'm just going to burn the whole thing. I think I'll just quit. There ain't no need for me to even try. You're wasting years and years of labor of the gardener in your life. You're wasting years and years of the labor of God called men that have been able to bring you to where you are. So don't trash the whole thing. Don't burn the entire garden and plow it under. Just focus on the part of your life that needs attention. And let the Spirit of God, and I guarantee you, if you've got needs, whether you go to this church or wherever you go, if you've got needs or diseased plants in your life, the Spirit of God will lead God called ministry right in the direction that you have need of. For myself, I would not sit under a man that could not preach what I need to hear preached. I would not go to a church and attend a church that the man worried about pleasing me all the time. I simply wouldn't go. I would not go, nor would I support that church, nor that man. I could not do it. I would want to sit under a man myself that if he had to get out and dig around me and fertilize me and prune me back, boy, I went in this big. When I come out in church, when I come out, I was about that big. I'd rather sit under that kind of man than I would a man that just tell me I'm all right and me wake up one morning and realize I missed the rapture. I'd rather have a pastor, a gardener, that would be able to spray and dig around me and fertilize me and chide me if need be to get me where I need to be with God. Anybody else feel the same way? Praise the Lord. Now, let's keep that in mind as we look at this one today because it's powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Now the New Testament Psalm of Love has been called 1 Corinthians 13. If you would like to read the Psalm of Love of the Old Testament, it is Psalms 45. In the Canticles, which we call the Song of Solomon, the entire book is called a Psalm of Love. But the New Testament equivalent to those two places in the Old Testament has been referred to as 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this, of course, is a very overwhelming place in the Scripture. It describes love in a way which is absolutely unattainable without divine nature. It describes love in a way that is overwhelming to most people. Now, I want you to listen as, by the help of the Lord, we try to break it down today. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels. Now, before we go into the diversities of these things that Paul is going to compare it to, let us look at the word charity, what it means. The word charity is action. It's love in action. So it is agape. It is the word that we interchangeably use for love. But it is agape, but the rendering of it is actually love in action. So, but today, charity, whenever we think of charities, we would think of, well, goodwill and the Red Cross and you donate your old clothes and things you don't like anyway and you cleanse your closet and give it to them. And that's what many people think is charity. But that's not what Paul is referring to at all. Paul is referring to the capstone or the headstone of a sealed life by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that life being able to grow and mature and come under the influence of this divine nature. Now a person can have this, of course, and not let it be flowing out of their lives. But in time, every one of these things that we're going to read about today, 1 Corinthians 13, love is not one of these. Love is not three of these things that we're going to read, but actually charity is all of these together. So you see, if you've got the real love of God, then you don't just have one of these attributes, you're going to have them all. Oh my. The nature of this type of love, really, we need to explain it in order that it might be comprehended, because it's not the question with charity of us loving God. The whole focus of this chapter is not Paul relating to Christians loving and how they treat God. It's actually loving and how they treat other human beings. Now, I know we tend to separate that and say, I love God with all my heart, but I can't stand nobody else. You cannot do that. Amen. That's totally impossible. If you love God, you will love others. And you will love those who hate you if you have charity. But to think now that Paul is going to focus on the love in the body, in the brotherhood, and he's going to focus on the virtue of charity that affects our conduct and our behavior. Now, he identifies charity with positive characteristics of what charity will do. And then he also identifies charity with negative things that charity won't do. Because we're living under the law of contrast, there will be things that charity will do, and there will be things that charity will not do. So here first, he wants to start out in the Corinthian letter. Remember that when we're dealing with charity, that the setting of this is a troubled church. The setting and the reason of this, and I'm so grateful that God allowed out of that troubled church chapter 13 to be revealed. Because at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is dealing with the gifts in chapter 11, the women cutting their hair and the gifts and all that sort of thing. And they were having major problems in the Corinthian church. But out of that major problem, God turned it into a course by which the elect through the ages would be able to be taught about charity. And at the ending of chapter 12, Paul told them that there was a more excellent way. But he didn't tell them what the excellent way was. But he said, there is a more excellent way that I will teach you about. Chapter 13 is the excellent way. Now, chapter 13 does not do away with gifts. It does not do away with the anointing. But it will help us to prioritize those gifts and channel the anointing that we have. Now, charity is a virtue from God, an inbred nature, if you will, that governs our conduct in the way that we act, the way we react, the way we respond. And you realize that love is perpetuated and grows, and love will exist on even in eternity in the celestial kingdom. But there are other virtues that God gives to us now that are necessary in leading us to paradise, but will not enter paradise. Repentance will not enter paradise. Listen to me now. We need faith every day of our life, but we won't need it when we walk through those gates of pearl. So faith will lead you to heaven, but you will not be needed, will not be needful when you enter into heaven. You need forgiveness every day of your life, and you need to offer to others every day of your life. But heaven will have no need for forgiveness. You need mercy. I need mercy, right? But there will be no need for mercy in heaven. But love will not cease once we grace the streets of gold. Love will be there for eternity. So then we are looking at a virtue or a nature of God which is not allocated just to time, but will blend right over into eternity. Thank God for prophets and apostles and gifts like that and preaching of the word. Don't you appreciate gifts of in men of God's life? But yet in there, I will never preach another sermon. Now, because of my short existence in time and what I did for the kingdom of God by the chair of the rest of these brothers, all that we've done, we will still be identified in heaven because of that position. But Brother Ben will never preach another sermon. I'll never sit down and counsel another individual. So you figure, if I preach 40, 50 years, whatever it is, I live my life, I do all that for the kingdom of God, and when it's all said and done, through eternity, I will be identified as a leader for 40 years of existence in this earth. Wow. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that mercy and grace? But will I preach? I will not. But was my gift and other men's gifts necessary to help you in the journey? It was. But will that gift be necessary in heaven? Absolutely not necessary at all. So when we're looking at love, then we're looking at something that's not just necessary in time, but it is the attribute that will fuel the kingdom of heaven. The fuel of the kingdom of heaven is not gold. It is not ambition. It is not oil. It is love. Praise the Lord. So we want to look at this today, if God will help us. Are y'all ready? You didn't say it like you was really ready. Are y'all ready? Now watch from this, the conclusion that we're able to get in the two chapters prior to this is that in among the Corinthian people that they were very charismatic, charisma, which is the Greek word there for gifts. So they were very, very charismatic. But what their gifts had done, the gifts had divided them. And the gifts had put little cliques and little clans among the church. And there were certain ones that really leaned toward tongues and others that leaned toward prophecy. And mainly the Corinthian church had the problem with the vocal gifts, which is tongue, interpretation, and prophecy. They didn't really have a problem with so much of the rest of them, but Paul went ahead and dealt with some of the others as well. Because the Corinthian people with the Greek culture and background, they were focused more on what was visible on the outside. What people saw about them was very important. If they'd done something for the work of God, they wanted other people to know about it, which showed they wasn't really living under charity. You see, charity does not brag about what it does. Charity is not boastful. Well, don't get quiet already. Charity does not brag about what it does. Charity is not boastful. Charity does not look at itself as being the only source from which good things come from. Praise the Lord. So the Corinthian church had a real problem in understanding this, which showed they had a problem with their love for God and their love for one another. Now, Paul is going to deal with the vocal gifts, which is where they had part of their problems first. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. Now, what a great thing that it would be for a person to be able to speak in tongues of men and of angels. Now, whether this was in reference to speaking in tongues supernaturally, as it was on the day of Pentecost, that the Spirit of God moved upon the people and they were able under the Spirit of God to speak human languages, whether it was French or Aramaic or Greek or whatever more, and the Spirit of God quickened these people who did not have the ability to speak other languages, but they spoke them very fluent. So the Spirit of God gave them the ability, if he could fall right here today and say, I don't know any French or any, Hebrew or nothing like that, but yet I could begin to speak Hebrew, and somebody here sitting here hearing the sermon could say, my goodness, that is absolutely perfect, fluent Hebrew. And then I would speak that, and then I'd go from that tongue to Aramaic, or I'd go from that one to Greek, or I'd go to the language of the Sioux, or the Lakota, or whatever more, and say, wow, my goodness, how spiritual, how wonderful. So I would have the ability to speak in tongues of men. Now let's move higher in another dimension. Paul said then I could also have the ability to speak in the tongues of angels, which is a language that apparently angels speak themselves. What that is, of course, I don't know. Yet we know that Brother Branham talked to us a little bit about it, about people speaking in an angelic tongue. So it would not be French, or it would not be English, or it would not be Spanish, but it would be a tongue by which angels converse into. Now you imagine for the Corinthian people, this really gets their attention. And they're saying, wow, man, this is what I want. I want tongues of men. I want tongues of angels. But Paul said, if you ain't got the love of God, you're nothing. Can you imagine now if the Spirit of God would be able to move on your heart? And you could go in succession. Okay, let's just start like this. You could go in succession. and you would start with your native tongue, whatever that is, most of you probably English, and you would go from English to French to Spanish to German, you know, to every known tongue around the world. And you would begin to worship God and say you was quoting the 23rd Psalm. And you would quote that in English, and then you'd go to Spanish, and you'd go to German, and you'd go to French, and you'd go to Swahili, and you'd go to every known language that there is in the world, and you'd never miss one word. And yet there would be people that would hear that and say, that is absolute perfect Psalms 23 in the Swahili tongue. That is absolutely perfect Psalm 23 in the Lingala tongue, or this tongue, or that. And people say, wow, man, that is, wow, that is something. And let me show you what that is. Without the love of God, charity, Paul says that is similar to this. Y'all feel like you're in a Chinese garden somewhere? But I wonder if you heard somebody do that and you knew they didn't have the love of God right in their heart. Would you consider them this? Or would you consider them one of the most spiritual people you ever saw in your life? Praise the Lord. And then you heard them go off into an angelic tongue, and my, they just rolled and rolled, and it was so eloquent, and it was just, my goodness, you were so moved. But yeah, you knew in their life they missed what we're fixing to deal with in some of these attributes. Would you take that and make it greater than charity? Or would you say, well, you know, I don't know, I can't explain all that. I'm not sure how they had that ability, but they're missing something in their life. Now you imagine now for the Corinthian people, if you folks are looking at me this way, and most of y'all ain't never spoken tongues anyway, probably. If you're looking at me this way, I cannot imagine how the Corinthian church looks whenever they got this from Paul. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that is agape. Now this is not the love for God. This is the love for people. If I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If y'all ever heard anybody play a solo on cymbals, I mean other than me, does anybody here ever request Brother Chuck to play a solo on cymbals? Do you know that cymbals do not have the ability to harmonize? Cymbals are used as a supplement into instrument. Now we know the scripture speaks to us of cymbals. But you could play a solo on a guitar. A drummer, a good drummer, could even play a solo on drums. But cymbals. Cymbals do not tend to excite. They do not tend to exasperate emotion. As a matter of fact, if I don't quit here in a minute, some of you is fixing to leave. Because it becomes annoying. Now cymbals have their place. Generally they are crashed. But with your present understanding, would you qualify a man, woman, boy or girl, preacher, whatever more, who had the ability to speak with such great languages and did not have the love of God in their heart, would you compare them to this racket I just made in your ears? Because that's the way God considers it. Racket. If you don't have charity. Should I stop or should I go on for a little? Now if you'll endure me for today, you'll get a couple of weeks break from me. Now watch this. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. A cymbal giving a clanging, clattering sound. A loud shriek. Oh boy. It means a clanging sound, which does not produce harmony. You see, cymbals have no... Now, Zildjian is the oldest cymbal-making company in the world. The cymbals are actually made of an element of brass, so much copper, so much iron. It's still a secret, the last I heard, from the Zildjian family. Goes back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Others have come up now to try to replicate it and duplicate it, and others have been able to do a pretty good job. But the Zildjian cymbal is still basically the standard known around the world. But it does not know A, B. It cannot harmonize in B flat, in B sharp, A sharp, B minor, D minor. It knows none of that. It knows nothing about augmented chords, diminished chords, sevenths, ninths, thirteenths. It knows nothing about that. It knows nothing about it, and it doesn't even fit in every song. And if you hit the rhythm on the kick drum and on the snare back and forth, alternate the rhythm, if somebody did that on the cymbal, before long, the deacons would be hearing complaints. In other words, if Brother Chuck took this thing down and put it down for his kick drum, was a cymbal. So boom, 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 boom. Every time that boom, boom, boom was a cymbal, I imagine our crowd would get less and less, don't you? And it would begin with me. Because a cymbal is not meant to be used in that way. Yet it's certain places at the end of a song or a crescendo to be able to send it out. It has its place. But it is not meant to be a major.
Oh my. Verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy. Now think of this. For those of you that have a Pentecostal background or you're inclined or lean toward gifts. If a man, woman, boy, or girl had the ability to prophesy and foretell events, and they happen, bam, 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 just like that. But in their heart, by their own actions, aren't you judging them now? But you watching their own life, you knew they did not meet the standard of charity. Would you consider them great because of their gift and let the lack in their life of love be kind of covered over, and well, you know, that don't really matter, but man, he prophesied to me, I'm telling you what. So in other words, you would have accepted Cephasus? So you would have acknowledged Balaam as a prophet of God and followed Balaam in his teaching? Balaam's prophecy is still going on to this day, 100% accurate. But Balaam's teaching was what was wrong. Oh my. Notice, though I have the gift of prophecy. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus says it this way. Many will come to me in that day. Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And you know the following verse. He'll say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. So it's possible that a person can prophesy, speak in tongues, have great supernatural manifestations of God, and still not have love. Let's go on. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Now this is what gets message folks more than the others. Because most of them don't believe in gifts, no way. Now I want you to listen now. I put down several mysteries. Now, I want you to read them with me today. Mysteries are deep secrets of God, which have been previously concealed, but have been made known. Knowledge is sharing something that has already been revealed. Now, Paul is going to deal with both of them. So, a mystery would be something that's made known to an individual that had not been previously known. But knowledge is understanding something which has already been revealed. So Paul said then, I could understand all mysteries. Now let's look at a few of the mysteries that we might understand. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysterious doctrines of the gospel. The Godhead. The incarnation of Christ.
The unity of the two natures, human and divine, in the Lord Jesus and also in us. Eternal security, predestination, the doctrine of regeneration, justification, satisfaction in your soul, sanctification in your spirit, of course, the resurrection of the dead, the types, figures, shadows of the Old Testament, the meaning of the Passover, brazen serpent, rock in the wilderness, the tabernacle, the temple, the sacrifices. All the unexplored secrets of nature. The size and laws of the universe. Now, I don't mind telling you that we got down to about a half a dozen of them on top. You folks would have qualified that man as being the greatest preacher in the message. But Paul didn't even stop with that. He went on to say that if I understood all mysteries. Now, let's bring it in the context by which he's saying it. So it's not just mysteries of God and godliness, but it would be mysteries pertaining to the universe itself. How the universe was made. How big the universe is. How many stars are in the galaxies and how many galaxies are there. By what laws each planet operates by. And a person could understand all of the above that I just mentioned and even more. And if they don't have charity, they are still nothing. Now let's be honest. None of us are this way, nor do we know anybody that's this way. I know a lot to think they are. Woo, boy, that's a good one. Now watch, then you would understand all mysteries, which is the size and the laws of the universe, how many galaxies there are, how many stars are in them. It would also include the laws of botany life, as well as animal life. So you would know today how many cattle are on the earth. How many bulls and how many cows. How many horses, how many donkeys, how many camels. And Paul says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I understood absolutely everything about science, art, music, I understood there was nothing kept from me or you. But if I didn't have charity, I am nothing. But is that the way we look at it? For many folks in the message, it's not. It makes no difference where a preacher has love, where a preacher is humble, where they don't care about that, as long as he profoundly speaks this mystery and that. Oh mama! But if he don't have charity in his life and manifest it toward his brothers, he's still nothing. According to the Bible. We still believe the Bible at Happy Valley, right? Oh my. Can you imagine that all mysteries would be at my access? And it wouldn't be me guessing it or making it up, but I would actually understand all mysteries and I would have all knowledge. But yet if I didn't have love, I would still be nothing. How does that equate? How does that equate? That would put me right next to God. Because part of these things I mentioned to you, even the devil don't know them. So you mean I would be able to have access? How could I do that though? By being a person that is a Christian, I can have access into the things the Spirit of God would give. It could fall here, it could fall in my second realm and my spirit and never even touch my soul. And God might illuminate me to give the people something that would bless them and help them and have nothing to do with me as an individual. Amen. Wow, this is overwhelming. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, miraculous faith, which would allow me to pray for the sick. There's a friend of mine one time working with a guy in Pentecost. He was his front man, as we called him. So he led the singing, got the congregation going, the tent roaring. And he introduces this man, God's man for the hour. And as the man comes up on the pulpit, he's staggering. And he hands in the microphone and he smells his breath and he's drunk. He holds on to the pulpit the most time he tries to preach, and then he comes with his challenge. Now it's time to prove there's a man of God in this tent. And he makes this challenge. Is there anybody here that's got a crippled leg? A man and woman bring the little girl. One leg 2 inches shorter than the other. And he makes the challenge. If I am a man of God, God will heal this baby. And my friend stood there. Most generally, he was reverent, bowed his head, but he thought, I can't do it. How can this be? How can this be? And he stood right there and watched that baby's leg grow 2 inches before his eyes. Saw that leg grow out from under its clothes like that. Of course, the tent went wild. People screaming and hollering. People, oh, what a man of God. What a man of God. Come on, church, don't get quiet. You could pray for folks and what does that mean? Did that mean anything about that man? It meant nothing about that man. Them people had faith. They had confidence in that man's prayer, though the man himself was a hypocrite. But if you had not only that man's faith, but all faith, if all faith, every other human being's faith was given to you and you had it all, mine left me, yours left you, and one individual had all faith. If you didn't have charity, you're nothing. Praise the Lord, sirs. You can cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. I don't mean you're a man of God. I don't mean you're a woman of God. Let me show you the difference between charity and pride. If two people are standing side by side, both of them pray a prayer for a crippled child, the child is healed. The man with the real love of God in his heart will honestly think it was probably the other brother's prayer. The man with pride will take pride and say it was his prayer. Oh, glory. You see, Paul mentions about a faith without love. So there is a faith that takes scorn as its companion. Listen to me. A faith that takes scorn as its companion. So it will move in the realms and make things happen, but it will stand right there and from its heart scorn you, or you, and have an awful attitude, because that faith can accompany to scorn. But charity has nothing to do with hatred. My mom will leave y'all hanging worse than it did Wednesday night. I'm going to close out on this today. You see, Christianity, true Christianity, is a revelation from the heart of God to your soul. It believes in gifts. It believes in supernatural. Well, Brother Don, don't you lay hands on the sick? I do. And one of these days you're going to find out there's been all kinds of miracles happen right here before your eyes. And you never knew one thing about it. Because my Lord taught me years ago, don't go around blowing my horn. Let the glory go to God, not to a preacher. Come on, saints. A man whose heart is filled with the love of God never tries to lead the people to himself, but to Christ Jesus. Preachers have become celebrities around the message. Oh, my. That's right, celebrities. Oh, they want cameras on them and they're sitting around talking to everybody. Do you honestly think that's a pattern of a servant of God? Theology is one thing. Christianity, my friends, is another. Theology is word. Christianity is the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Now watch, Paul says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. If a man ever appears on TV like this, God have mercy. It's amazing how that people can be worth so much in the eyes of people, and God looks at them like this. Wouldn't that be awful? Wouldn't that be awful to be appraised by God as being this? Yet in the eyes of people, you were 9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 and said, there's one letter that describes you. Zero. You are nothing. Verse 3. Can I tread a little farther? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now watch, now he's going to go from the realm of supernatural gifts into the realm of self-denial, which most folks consider the epitome of Christianity. When they look at self-denial. But you see, self-denial can be veiled behind self-gratification. That's very tricky now. It can appear as if though it's self-denial. But it's self-denial with a motive. You see, giving your goods to the poor is not enough unless you love the poor you're giving them to. Now, many people give a lot of things away. Our current president has given a whole lot away to a lot of folks to try to buy votes and this and that and the other. Does that mean our government loves the people? Of course not. They want you to show up at the voting booths. That's when they really love you. But you know how that is. You know that they'll get in and give this away and give that away. Oh, we love the people. We love the people. Right, right. You know, but whenever we look at reality, many people have done things down through the years that it seemed like such a sacrifice. Totally lost. Every Muslim that walks onto an Israeli bus or an Israeli market and taps a button and blows themselves up, and how many ever Israelis and whatever more? I've always said if you could be there with them in the fifth dimension when they open their eyes and they're looking around for the 40 virgins that men are supposed to get when they do that. And they find themselves lost. And they also find their prophet there with them. You're talking about a real missionary. One of them blow up guys could make a real missionary if he could ever come back, couldn't he? Would any of you do that for the message? Of course not. The message don't even ask that we do such ignorant things. But the point is, would we be willing to do it? Most of us would say no. I would never do such a thing. Yet they do it and they believe they're doing the right thing. But it is absolutely in vain. Now your Paul brings it though from the heathen on over to where that a Christian could be that way. Now let's break it down and look at it. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. So a person could give much of their living. I mean, here they could give. Paulus goes on to say, if I could give all of it, if I'd give my house, I say, if you didn't have nothing, you're just living in a shelter on the side of the road in a cardboard box. You say, I'm going to give my box away. Well, bless your little heart. In 10-degree weather, I guess that's a sacrifice. You know what? But for a man that would give a lot, have a house here and one down in the beach and one over here in Pocomo City and one over there, and he's got all kinds of cars, and wow, man, if that ain't the love of God, not necessarily. Not necessarily. You never know why people do things until you are able to look inside of here. And then if they begin to hear, well, I've done this, I done, and you watch that smile come on their face, then you pretty well know what their motive was. Preach, Brother Donnie. Amen. So a person could give away their possessions to the poor without charity. They could give their possessions to the poor with human feeling of affection or kindness, not touched by the love of God at all. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned. You see, the Indian queens in India, not American Indians, but in India, when their husband would die in the ancient times, because they believed in cremation, the wives would go into the funeral pyre with their husbands. The husband was dead, but the wife was alive. But she would actually enter into the funeral fire with her husband and sacrifice her life with her husband. What did it profit her? Nothing. Nothing. Since all the 33 million Hindu gods are absolute lies anyway. Listen to this bit of history. Kalinus, an Indian philosopher who followed Alexander the Great, erected a funeral pile and went into it of his own accord. Peregrinus, another philosopher, did the like in the times of Trajan. So here we have philosophers then, who would actually build a funeral pile up a pile of wood and set it on fire and walk right into the middle of it. Let me read you something more sad. There is a story of a Christian of Antioch who, on his way to martyrdom, refused to forgive and be reconciled to a brother Christian, such as the case is an exact example of zeal without love, which the apostle here pronounces worthless. So can you imagine a Christian is going to be killed for supposedly the cause of Christ, and he runs into a brother that he goes to church with or somebody that he's had a problem with, and he will not forgive him, and he goes and gives his life with an unforgiving heart. Lord Jesus. Can you imagine, friends? You're hanging here on a cross or standing there as they would tie their hands up, something similar to this. You're being set on fire. The last thing you remember is your flesh falling off your bones, your eyes melting in their sockets, and you wake up in the fifth dimension lost. The last thing you've done was a martyr, and the next thing you remember is waking up and realizing, dear God, I'm lost. Why? You did it without love. True love would have made that thing right with that brother. True love, if you've got it in your heart today, it'll make things right with the brothers you go to church with, or sisters, or family, or whatever more. Oh my, isn't it amazing that Paul, I believe as well, that Paul is speaking prophetically. Because you know, when this was written in Corinthians here, they were not burning the Christians yet. They were not burning them. Notice what he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. Luke chapter 18 verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, Baptists, Methodists, Church of God. Or as this guy over here, I smelled smoke on him and I walked up to the church this morning. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen to the words of Jesus. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. What was this man doing? Bragging about what he was doing for the kingdom of God. He was actually exalting himself. I pay tithes. I do this. I do this. I give up that. Be careful what you're doing. You're talking as if though you did it. If you had a habit in your life and something came to help you deliver that, that wasn't you. That was the Spirit of God. But if you're not careful, you'll take credit for that. This man bragging, and Jesus says he's exalted himself. Verse 4, and we'll close shortly. Now remember, you could speak in tongues, cast out devils, have all faith, all wisdom, all understanding, all knowledge. Now Paul's going to begin the description of charity. Charity suffereth long. His illustrations are drawn from the effect that the true love of God will have on our conduct with other people. Charity suffereth long. The word here denotes slowness to anger or passion, long suffering, patient endurance, forbearance, opposed to haste, passionate expressions and thoughts to irritability. So charity bears long with your brothers, your sisters, your wife, your husband, your children. How long, Brother Donnie, will it suffer? As a matter of fact, it never runs out. Now remember, this is the attribute by which we will enjoy the kingdom of God. Charity suffers long, so it is patient toward all men. It is patient toward those who do not believe, those who do not understand, those who ridicule, those who make fun. Those who offend you. Those who talk about you. Oh my, amen. This is getting like hen's teeth. You see, this comes from our Father, which is the source of long suffering. Now you see what I'm saying? That a man could be so deep and have such profound understanding. My goodness, oh, just be so great, 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 great. And then you watch him and you watch the people who follow him. And then let them share their revelation with somebody else. Well, I don't see it that way, brother. You, I'm telling you what you serpents, you reject. Charity? I don't just like to look at a preacher. I like to look at the folks who follow him. And the effect of the message that he preaches. That tells you a whole lot about the inner workings of the spirit of that man. What's in Galatians 5:22? The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. It can endure evil, injury, backbiting, abuse. Well, glory.
Charity actually endues you from within your soul and empowers you to conquer your passions. It is a source from within your soul which is greater than what you receive by natural birth. Maybe everybody in your family is as hot-headed as I don't know what, but if you've got the new birth and you've really got charity, it is an empowerment from within your soul that if you listen to it and obey it, it will give you power over your flesh and your spirit. It will help you deal with slights and neglects. It will help you deal with people gossiping against you. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Compassionate, tender, mild, gentle. It suffers, inspires the sufferer with the most amiable sweetness and the most tender affection. So when the sufferer actually is being suffered and buffeted and ridiculed and laughed at, and it don't make a mean or a copperhead. I'm suffering for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And you better not get near me this morning because I'm in a bad mood because I'm suffering for the glory of God. No, somebody with real charity, it's overwhelming what it does. It makes them long-suffering. And then in turn, somehow, somewhere, from within a resource beyond human understanding, it actually makes them kind toward the person that has caused them so much pain. You see, charity, it's against charity's nature to ever cause anybody pain. So I can speak in tongues, have knowledge, have all mysteries. Without this, you're nothing yet. I don't care if you can tell me how many times the earth rotates. I don't care how many times you can tell me how big the sun is and how many sunspots is on it, how many galaxies there are. This, I can find all that out on Google, and I know Google ain't got the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Friends, if we miss this, we have missed the capstone. It's amazing the usage that Paul says this is that a person with real charity in their heart, they maintain this type of attitude under all provocation. They maintain this type of spirit and attitude under all ill use of others. You say, how is that possible? Read in your Bible of our example, the Lord Jesus. That's how it's possible. This I'm talking about is His love. Can you imagine when you're persecuted and the winds change and the north wind comes and it begins to blow this fragrance of charity out of your life, and God looks at you and knowing that it's in your human nature to hold a grudge. It's in your human nature to revenge yourself. But instead, the wind blows and God smells this long suffering out of your life. This kindness, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, she don't build herself up. It is not puffed up. Paul goes on down to say here in a couple of verses, she seeketh not her own. Can you imagine? He would give charity the feminine designation. She, her. What is it? The bride. As God took Eve's body and Eve's spirit out of Adam, what was it? The feminist designation. And put this spirit inside this feminist body.
a masculine spirit inside that kind of a body, it wouldn't match. Learn for the day we're living in. So God put this feminish, dainty spirit inside this type of a body. This spirit was fitting for this type of a female body. So she and her, what is it? It's that part of God that lives in the bride. And it's not just how she relates to Him. It's how she relates to other. And she does this, and her this, and she that, and her this. Feminine in designation. And then when it comes to your life, you know, you let Brother Tim put, you let Brother Mike Price, you let, you know, Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Terry Horn, Brother Ron, and the rest of these brothers take these same notes, preach the same sermon. Let Brother Ron Spencer preach it. It would come with the Ron Spencer flair. How many's with me? How many's with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? If Brother Tim preach it, now, let us go on. Now, it'd be, you know, Brother Tim's flair, Brother Terry Horn's flair. It'd be that certain thing. What is it? Because the word coming through there, what's that Donnie Reagan flair or that Tim Pood flair? You understand what I'm saying? So he gives you this and it comes back with the Jim Bebb flair. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? He must like it that way or he could make every preacher preach exactly the same way. Well, that'd be scary if it's all like me, wouldn't it? Lord, have mercy. But what does he do? He allows the word to come through. And each one by their makeup and what they've been through, it'll come out through them by that human flair and that human touch. Oh, but you're talking about when the bride loves. And you'll be kind and you'll be kind and you'll be kind. And you'll suffer. And I'll suffer. We'll be able to express his love. But it comes through my life and the way I'm molded. Which is totally different than the way you'll be molded. Which is totally different than the way I'll be molded. But it comes out on the other side. And the north wind blows. It ain't going to be long, children. We're going to be hearing the words of this verse that we heard. The winter is past. The rain is gone. It ain't going to be long. We're going to be hearing the cry, your trouble is over. Your body's changed. The marriage supper is set. It ain't going to be long, but Jim, we're going to be hearing the cry. The millennium is fixing to dawn. Oh, I hear Brother Bam say it, and I love it every time I hear him say it there in 1965. The dawn of that seventh morning. Praise God. It ain't going to be long. The dawn of the seventh morning will arise. And he'll say, come, my love. The winter's past. The tribulation is past. They throw the earth out here in its orbit. Atomic bombs have blown all over it. Now I've pulled it back in to make it ready for the millennium. Come, my love. Come, the winter is past. The time of the rain is over. The time for singing has come. The flowers are upon the earth. Let's go up to Jerusalem and build the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you find black spot on your roses today, if you find little bugs and little mites here and there and there, don't you leave this place, walk out of here discouraged. I might as well quit. No, you don't need to quit. What you need to do is focus on them mites. Focus on that black spot. If you got to cut that rose plumb back to the roots, cut her back. And let God bring new growth. You love him, children. Let's sing the song together. Let's just worship a bit before we go, can we? Are you happy to be here today? Let's sing it, Harry. Make us your prayer now, not just a song. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Again. Saturate my soul. Saturate my soul, Lord.
Let the river flow.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Once again, saturate my soul. Let the river flow.
spices may flow out.
Hallelujah!
Saturate my soul.
Yes, Lord!
Let the river flow.
Let the river flow.
Let the north wind blow.
Lover of my soul.
My beloved's full.
Yes, Lord!
Said unto me,
thank you, Lord God.
Rise up, my fair one.
Come
away with me. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Saturate my soul. Spices may flow out, saturate my soul. Let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Love is full, and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me, saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, the lover of my soul.
Look, children, if you look in your garden and you find roses with black spots, you find mites, you find diseased plants and things today, don't walk out overwhelmed. The great gardener's here. He may apply spray, he may apply, you know, whatever more to your life, but I believe he's here today. He don't send this word just to torment us. I don't think God dangles heaven toward before you like a carrot in front of a horse. If he's putting this before us, it's for us to move up. It's for us to be able to attain to. Don't leave. Well, I can't do it. I can't. You can do it. Bring your black spot rose to the king and let him treat it. Bring your trees that's got mites on them. Let him treat them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Oh, saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let your north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul.
Search me, Lord.
Let the river flow.
See if there's any mind.
saturate my soul.
Saturate my soul, Lord.
Let the river flow.
Let the Holy Ghost river flow.
Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For behold, the winter has passed.
Yes,
the rains are over and gone.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Flowers appear on the earth again. The time of singing is come. Saturate my soul. Spices may flow out.
Yeah, Lord.
My soul.
Yeah, Lord.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow.
Lover of my soul. Let's sing it again. Oh, saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Jesus, we thank you today for your word. We will never be satisfied until these great virtues are so flowing out of our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, dear God, for your truth. Now, Lord, as I get ready to leave for some meetings and be gone from them for a couple weeks, I commit them to you. I know they commit me and Carol into your charge and your care as well. If something was to happen along the way, it'd be your will to take us out. We'll be waiting for them on the other side. But if not, if it's your will for us to come back, then Lord willing, we'll resume on this word that you've been giving us to feed on. Hallelujah. Whichever way it is, we look for it with anticipation. Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. Let the north wind blow the things godly out of my life. May it be so odorous into your nose, my King. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
You enjoy the word today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord willing, Carol and myself will be leaving this afternoon. We're actually going to drive to Tucson, so we're going to take our time, take a few days to get out there. Y'all pray for us while we're out there. The weather's absolutely awful. 70s and 80s, and oh goodness, it's just terrible, terrible. Pray for us that we'll be able to endure it.
would be thinking about y'all. Okay? I read your weather report today, and it's supposed to be 3 or 4 below one day this week, and 0, and all that sort of thing. So we'll try not to enjoy it too much. I could send some pictures, I suppose, to Brother Jim, and he could let y'all see it Wednesday night before church maybe or something. But that'd be torment, wouldn't it? God bless you. Love you so much. Go in the fear of God. We have some good brothers lined out, minister brothers, while I'm gone. Brother Andrew will be here one weekend. Brother David Seiler and the local brothers will also be here on the Wednesday night. So, Lord willing, we'll be turning back. Got a meeting there. Brother Doug Baker's, Brother Tim Pruitt's going to be there. Brother Ron Spencer was supposed to be, but won't be able to make it because of Brother Frazier's situation. Brother Darrell will be there. Also, a couple other brothers will be there. So, just pray for those meetings. Also, the next weekend, we'll go be with Brother Ron Peterson Friday night. Got a banquet for the marriage. So Saturday night, I got a youth service for the youth of the church and 2 services on Sunday. So I desire your prayers that the Lord will just help us and go before us. And then in between that, we're going to take a couple of days rest. So, but we'll be longing to come back home to be with you all. I've preached in lots of different places around the world. I've been privileged by God's grace to travel the earth. And for that, I'm thankful. I know of no other place I'd rather be the pastor than right here at Happy Valley. In spite of all of our faults and our failures and our mistakes, I believe God put us together.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. We're driving today. It's given a winter storm, I think, this evening in Nashville. So we're going to try to make it on the other side of Nashville at least today. So remember us, if you would. Let's sing it together as we go. Amen. How many's encouraged by the word? Praise be to God. Let's sing it as we go. God bless you, saints. I love you.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. My beloved spoke, said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me, saturate my soul.